From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Francis Chan, author of the new book, Until Unity. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast. I love doing these podcasts, by the way, and I hope that you appreciate this podcast. We bring such a diverse number of people together through the podcast. The last one I did was with a man named Tristan Osbay. He's the only government official in the world that has the moniker Persecuted Christians in his title. And he's the state secretary for Hungary and has raised some $50 million to help persecuted Christians. Four out of every five are persecuted Christians. And we live in a time in which unity of Christians is so transcendently important. I've often said that it is true to say that if we don't hang together, we're going to hang separately. So there's a great need within the body of Christ for unity. And that is the subject of today's podcast. The podcast is based on a book that is titled Until Unity. It's a book written by my friend Francis Chan. Francis has been a pastor for over 30 years. He's a best-selling author. He's written some incredible books, including a book titled Crazy Love, as well as a book titled Letters to the Church. And then with his dear wife, Lisa, he has co-authored a book that is titled You and Me Forever. But again, we're going to focus on a book that has just recently been released. It's titled Until Unity. You can get your copy for your support of our ministry on the web at equip.org. Simply go to the web at equip.org, and when you support the ministry, we'll send you the book. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, with that, I want to welcome my good friend Francis Chan. And Francis, as always, it is just great to have a conversation with you.
Thanks, Hank. Gosh, I've really appreciated our friendship and have learned so much over the years through you, so it's an honor to be on the podcast.
In your book, Until Unity, I remember you and I being in Dallas together and talking about how necessary unity is. I wrote about this in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Last chapter is a chapter on fusion. And I call that the secret to global transformation. In the scientific or physical realm, fusion means that you take hydrogen atoms and you try to make them fuse. And hydrogen atoms, by their very nature, want to repel. So the only place that those atoms actually fuse is in the sun. We don't find that fusion practical on Earth. Instead, what we do is we split atoms, and that division of the atoms does create tremendous power, but it also creates tremendous toxicity, radioactive waste. And I think that's an apt analogy for the body of Christ. We are called to fuse, but so often we gravitate towards fission or division. And you're calling the body of Christ in the 21st century towards unity. And I suppose the first question I have for you, and it might set the table for everything else we discuss, is, isn't this, Francis, an impossible dream?
It is and it isn't. I mean, if you look at it in the flesh, you go, gosh, we are so divided, and it seems to get worse every day. And it seems like we have tried everything humanly possible to bring the church back together, and it hasn't worked. And so people far more brilliant, far more gifted than me have tried to bring it together. So it does seem impossible. And yet you look at Scripture and you think about what Christ did, what God did to make us one with Him. I mean, that was way more impossible. Mm. Us becoming one with a holy God. Sinful man and holy God coming together, and yet He made a way because He wanted it. It was His desire, so He made it possible. And so I go, okay, if He did that, He can also bring His body together even now at the most fractured state that, in church history that I know of. He could do it. And so I believe in humility, if we seek after Him, and I just humbly say, we have no answers at this point, Lord. We've made a mess of things. Please save us. I believe You'll provide a way.
Mm-hmm. You know, I often think, Francis, when I ask that very question that I posed to you about realism, is this an impossible dream? And yet the Lord prayed that we all might be one, just as the Father is in Me and I am in the Father, may be one in them, so that the world might believe that God sent His Son to die for the sins of the world. So whenever we ask the question, how realistic, we have to immediately catch ourselves. Do we really have the temerity to ask the Lord God Most High, the One in whose presence we could not so much as stand, whether His prayer to the Father might actually be realistic? How can an infinitesimally tiny speck of dust question the One who created that dust? We can pose questions only because the breath of heaven is blown on us. The question, therefore, is not one of realism, but one of obedience. And this is something that you point out in the book over and over again. We have to be obedient to the high priestly prayer of God in human flesh, God incarnate, His prayer to the Father, that we might be one, just as He and the Father are one.
Yeah. Well, and it even says in chapter 17, verse 22, He says, "The glory that You have given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as We are one." And this is what makes it possible, is that He's given us the glory. You know, how you interpret that or how we understand that perfectly, it's a mystery. But somehow the glory that was given to Jesus, He says He's given to us so that we are capable of becoming perfectly one. So for us to say it's impossible, we really are calling God a liar. And it's interesting because that whole passage, you know, that whole upper room discourse, you know, starting back in John 14, when He says, "In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" He says, if this isn't true, why would I say it? Why would I say I'm going to prepare a place for you if there's not really room for you? And I take that all the way to chapter 17, where He says, well, I just said that I gave you My glory so that you become perfectly one. Why would I say that if it's not true? God's not like man, where you and I might slip and say something we don't really mean or not follow through on something we promised. When God says something, He says, why would you even question it if it came out of My mouth? And so I have to run with that. That's what our faith is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And in this discussion and in your book, you really have to start with the end goal in mind. And the end goal is, in essence, another iteration of Pentecost. The mighty blowing wind, the tongues of fire, a church empowered by the Holy Spirit, a church that is one, that absolutely turns the world right side up and does it in a very short period of time, relatively speaking. And you have the faith to believe. I remember reading this at the end of your book. You have the faith to believe that that can happen, not just in the distant future, but in our own lifetimes.
Yeah. I'm really excited about this because, you know, you've got this younger generation that they don't understand the division. It doesn't make sense to them. Some of us that are older, you know, we've tried to make sense of it over the years, but at the end of the day, we have to see the scriptures and go, it doesn't make sense at all.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Francis Chan. Christian unity is not optional. Francis Chan writes, "Unity is difficult when all we do is talk." The early church produced the book of Acts. The modern church produced a book of talks. Their leaders died living out the gospel. We make a living by talking about it. The more we bear fruit, the easier unity will be. When we begin to see one another conforming our actions and lifestyles to those of Jesus and the early church, we will be more prone to unite. To receive your copy of Until Unity by Francis Chan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Our Lord prayed that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Christian unity is not optional. To receive your copy of Until Unity by Francis Chan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Francis Chan, in their conversation.
You've got this younger generation that they don't understand the division. It doesn't make sense to them. Some of us that are older, you know, we've tried to make sense of it over the years, but at the end of the day, we have to see the scriptures and go, this doesn't make sense at all. And I actually dream about my kids growing up in a church that doesn't have to explain, well, this is why, you know, you shouldn't listen to these guys and these guys and these guys, even though they're all believers. You know, we keep our distance from them and them and them. You know, I want them to grow up in a church that actually goes, wow, if that person is truly a believer, then God commands me to become perfectly one with them. And for them to grow up in a church that just emphasizes that type of love and commitment to each other, I don't know. I may be crazy, but I really believe it can happen. I really believe this is God's desire. And I know, you know, when you're writing and you're thinking, you're going, gosh, I don't know if it's necessarily, you know, wrong to have all these different tribes, but I don't know. I am dreaming of a breaking down of some of that. So the name of Christ would be the only thing that is lifted up, the only name, not Presbyterian, Lutheran, Methodist, you know, Episcopal. It's just not North American Baptist and Baptist General Conference. And it's just, that's all so confusing to the young minds of why it has to be that way. And it's certainly confusing to the unbelieving world. And so I am dreaming and praying for a day when all the believers are one in spirit, but also in name.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a moment. You're alluding to this, but I wrote in my book about a rhetorical question that was asked by St. Paul. Is Christ divided? And there are factious people at this time who are saying, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas, I follow Christ. And then again, Paul says, is Christ really divided? And so the problem with factionalism in the ancient church, just like today, is not one of tribes, the tribe of Paul or the tribe of Apollos or the tribe of Cephas, but I'm contending in my book, and maybe incorrectly, I'm contending that the real problem is tribalism, that we are competitors as opposed to co-workers in the fellowship of the undivided Trinity, that there can be distinctives, and we don't have to break down all of those distinctives as long as they're secondary issues, and as long as we manifest what is so manifest in your book, we manifest the love of Christ. So again, we're not competitors, but we're co-laborers. And so, yeah, we're going to have some differences and perhaps unrealistic that all of those barriers are broken down because they're barriers erected on secondary issues and they've sort of taken on a life of their own. So I've kind of thought, well, get rid of the tribalism, but the tribes may continue. But you're saying that you want to take it a step further.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to explain, you know, like I remember just sharing with my taxi driver and he's just like, yeah, the Christians, you guys just don't make any sense, you know, Catholic, are you Orthodox, are you Baptist, are you this, you guys can't even get along. And, you know, and he was saying, you know, and I grew up Muslim, but, you know, at least we're pretty connected. And, you know, we have two factions, but that's better than you guys. You know, he's just confused by it all. And there's not a great answer to that. I just go, yeah, I know. All right, just don't look at the church. You know, let's just go to truth. Let's just go to the scriptures. And, you know, let me just pray for you in the name of Jesus. And I almost had to, I don't know. I've never been able to explain it well to an unbeliever. And it's hard for me to imagine that this was Christ's intention.
Well, I don't think it was the intention. I think you're absolutely right about that. But by the way, the Muslims are pretty divided as well. So the taxi driver is probably not aware that there are Sufis and Sunnis and Shiites and there are Wahhabs. And, you know, there are all kinds of divisions within Islam, lots of divisions within Hinduism. So we are divided, and that is a reproach upon the name of Christ. But many religious groups are systemically divided as well. But I think, getting back to your main point, I mean, you think about the schisms that took place, and you're familiar with those schisms. I mean, the great schism that took place between the East and the West was really a sin of fratricide. In other words, instead of working in collegial, conciliar fashion, the churches began to divide the East from the West, and eventually in 1054, the Western Church sends a bull of excommunication to the Eastern Church over the filioque, over changing what was decided in Nicaea in 325 and then Constantinople right after that. And they messed with the faith, and very, very interesting, they were the ones to excommunicate the East. And so now you have this big fissure that leaves a blackened lava trail between East and West. And then 500 years later, you have a big schism that takes place in the Western Church between Rome and the Reformers. And then the church continues to fissure after that, one fissuring after the other. And some of this has to do with the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And I suppose the operative question in terms of unity is, what are the essentials that we can ultimately unify around? I mean, if we talk about getting rid of all barriers, I mean, we have to start by talking about what are the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And there's a lot of debate about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, Zwingli comes along after Luther and says, look, I don't think baptism is a sacrament. In essence, he's saying baptism is something that God does, not for us, but something we're doing for God. Zwingli believes in infant baptism. The Anabaptists come along and say that's anathema. And then you have fissuring that takes place with respect to essentials of the Christian faith. I mean, Luther believed in the real presence of Christ, but Zwingli did not. Is that an essential or is that a secondary issue? I mean, those are the issues that ultimately have to be grappled with.
Yeah. Well, first, I just want to say, gosh, to anyone that's listening, when you hear about that schism, I mean, isn't there something inside of you, I would argue a person of the Holy Spirit, that just your heart breaks because of the division? Like, you want this oneness. I mean, when I hear about all these different divisions, I mean, I have to go back to my desire based upon the spirit that God has placed in me of, I want oneness with the body of Christ. And before we even get into, like, okay, so do we divide on this? Do we divide on that? It starts off with, in your inner person, when you read these passages about the heart of God, the heart of Christ, Lord, I want them to become perfectly one. Like, this is God's desire. Do you listen to my voice, listen to Hank's voice, and go, oh, I just want to be perfectly one with them, regardless of what denomination they're a part of? Because it sounds like these men really trust in the blood of Christ for their salvation, and they really do believe in the Holy Spirit and his indwelling in man to make us more like Christ. And I want to be on this journey. I want to be in this family with them. I want to be in this body with them. And you take the word of God literally, that We literally are the body of Christ somehow. And he is the head. And he doesn't want his body divided. And once that desire is in there, and once your desire is, wow, Francis Chan seems like he knows Jesus and he is a part of the body, I want to love him deeply. I want to love him like I love myself. I want to love him the way that Christ loved me. And I really believe that that ought to be step one. It has to do with the Spirit's indwelling and this desire for oneness and this desire to love one another as Christ loved us. And it's with that foundation of love and desire for oneness that we then speak and start talking about some of these issues.
We've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Francis Chan, author of Until Unity. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book Until Unity by Francis Chan. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
Our Lord prayed that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Christian unity is not optional. To receive your copy of Until Unity by Francis Chan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.